Joan Merrill joins us by phone tonight. She's the CEO of Saying It With Jazz, a production and talent management company representing jazz vocalists. She's also produced a number of shows for NPR's Jazz Profiles and PRI's Jazz Singers. She's currently producing the musical review, Que Sera, celebrating Doris Day. Joan is also the author of several mysteries that center on the world of jazz and feature Casey McKee, a private investigator. Tonight, we'll talk about her latest novel titled And All That Madness. Joan Merrill, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Well, thank you. That's Doris Day's birth city.
Yes, it is. She's well-loved here. Well, speaking of cities, Casey calls San Francisco home, but she very quickly takes off for New York City in All That Madness. What takes her there, and what has she been asked to look into?
A letter has been found in a trunk in an attic that's from the famous jazz singer Georgia Valentine, and it hadn't been opened, for years. It sat there for years, and when it was opened, the person who read it thought that there was a hint that she hadn't committed suicide, as history has said. And there had been rumors about that. So he, having met Casey on a jazz cruise, thought of her to investigate it. And her friend, Dee Jefferson, the jazz singer, who has a jazz club in San Francisco, asked her if she would be interested in that. And of course she was. And she had to go to New York because that was the center of jazz in the 50s. She had to go there to interview Georgia Valentine's associates, ex-husband, drug dealer, so on.
And part of what's important about this is we should say that Georgia Valentine is a fictitious character, even though there are references to actual jazz vocalists in the book. But part of what's important is that Georgia was a very successful black vocalist, and her reputation has been tarnished by the way her death has been described, yes?
Yes, that was sort of the main point, is she was a symbol for other black women artists and just black people in general as someone who came from, had strikes against her when she was born and rose up to a highest position she could get as a vocalist, the highest, most respected jazz vocalist. And having succumbed to drugs, according to history, ruined her reputation. And so that's part of the motivation, is to revise or renew her success
to clear,
in history.
Clear her name, so to speak.
Yes.
One of the challenges that Casey faces is that she has a number of suspects to check out. So without giving anything away, can you let us know who a couple of those people are that, of course, had had connections to Georgia?
Well, of course, the whole objective of a mystery writer is to create viable suspects. You can't just have one. It wouldn't be any fun to read it. So you have to have four or five. That's a good number. Well, one of them is her former husband, who would benefit from her death by getting all her royalties. Another was a manager who had been skimming off her fees for himself. Another was a society woman with whom she'd had an affair and they wanted to keep it secret. And kind of can't even remember all the others. But
well, there's some interesting sort of clandestine meetings at St. Patrick's Cathedral, for instance, and of a really dangerous interlude that takes place on a subway track, which we'll let readers find out about. There is, of course, also a bit of romance. As it happens, Casey's been carrying on something of a bicoastal relationship. So who's her fellow, and what happens when she meets up with him in New York?
Oh, yes, Aaron. Well, Aaron is the editor of Jazz Beat magazine, a fictitious magazine, and they had met on the jazz cruise. But he's Jewish, he lives in New York, and she doesn't see that as a good fit. She thinks he ought to marry a nice Jewish girl. And so they both realize that there's no future for them. In the meantime, Casey meets Ryan, who's a New York police officer who's associated with the organized crime division. So they are in cahoots, because I forgot the most important suspect of all was that people have suspected that the drug agency was the one who killed Georgia, because they had searched her room while she was sick in the hospital, and people were outraged. And the head of the DEA, the drug agency, was afraid that he would be fired because he was just trying to hang on to his job in the liberal Kennedy years. And so the thought was perhaps he gave her an overdose so he could justify the search and restore his reputation. And then there's also organized crime. They are suspects as well because of their involvement with drugs. So Casey meets Ryan because they both have an interest in finding out who the real killer was.
There's a reference to film noir in your book. And one of the things I enjoyed so much about your novel is that it had a nostalgic feel. I know you have a preference for certain jazz vocalists. I happen to share them. I could hear the strains of Nina Simone and Carmen McRae sort of playing in my head as I read this. So given the style with which this book is written, did you set out to create a certain ambiance? Was that a part of what you wanted to create for us readers?
If I did, I didn't do it intentionally. I just try to develop suspects who are plausible as suspects, keep the plot going, and describe the events and actions as best I can. But I am a fan of film noir, so if something in there creeps in, so I'm not surprised.
You sound like you have a busy life, and I know you're involved with jazz in a number of ways. What made you decide to make a leap to include writing, specifically mysteries that center around the world of jazz?
I had always wanted to be a writer since I was a child, and you get involved with life and making a living and getting married and having children and so on and so forth. So it wasn't until later in life that I had the time to really begin writing novels. So I did that about 7 years ago, took some classes, and then decided to write mysteries. And why mysteries is because it's a format that I enjoy. To me, it seemed manageable. I know how it should work. And so that's why I did it. And I thought it would be fun. This is my fourth, and I'm now working on my fifth. And the reason I chose jazz is that obviously people say, write what you know about. So that's why I chose the world of jazz, because I was familiar with it.
And All That Madness was very enjoyable reading for me. So I thank you very much for it. And I thank you for visiting with us tonight.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to hear that you're a Carmen McRae fan.
Absolutely. I've been talking with Joan Merrill about her latest Casey McKee novel. It is titled And All That Madness. You'll find more information about it at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.
If I forgot to eat and sleep and pray, blame it on my youth. And if I cried a little bit when first I learned the truth, don't blame it on my heart, blame it on my youth. Don't blame it.